Good morning. It's delightful to be with you. I've really enjoyed. I found it meaningful, our worship this morning. I thought, I must come again, though I'm not sure my congregation where I serve at Home Street would like it if I was away on Sunday mornings. They kind of anticipate me being there with them. I really appreciated the background of the scripture passages. How helpful to give us a sense of where in God's story these stories are found. That was fantastic. Thank you, Peter, for your work, helping us get a hold of these scripture passages. The German hymn we just sang together reminds me that as a church, we have a long history of calling our children, our young people, to be servants of the living God. I imagine that many of us gathered here this morning heard this call when we were young people, if we can remember that. And I imagine and I know that Chris, my friend Chris, your youth leader here, calls the youth of this congregation to heed the call of Jesus to come and to follow. In my role as the Associate Director of Leadership Ministries for Mennonite Church Manitoba, my work is primarily focused on youth ministry and young adult ministry. My position in our conference is one expression of our commitment, our shared commitment, to the young people, and it is a continuation, really, of the history we share of being faithful to God, right? Being faithful to God by being faithful to our children. Currently, there are 20 full or part-time youth and young adult ministers in our congregations with well over 100 youth sponsors who serve our youth. In my half-time position, I provide pastoral care and leadership development to the youth pastors and sponsors. I resource congregations in youth ministry, and I oversee the ongoing life of the Manitoba Mennonite Youth Organization, MMYO, and we do retreats and other gatherings to nurture the hearts of our kids and bring them together. Already this September, the Youth Ministers Fellowship have met together for a spiritual retreat day at Camp Assiniboia. And it is in that fellowship circle of youth ministers that I hear what is happening among us. I hear about the life that is stirring and bubbling in our congregations across Manitoba. I hear about our young people. I hear about our congregations. I hear about them serving and learning and worshiping together. At the same time, I hear the many and varied challenges that we face at this time in this day as the Church of Jesus. One of the challenges we face being increasingly our youth and our young adults are finding fewer connecting points with our congregations. Attending youth group and Sunday morning worship are becoming less of a priority. And for some, the church is no longer the place they find significant community, relationship, and meaningful experience. I hold these stories before me with the Bible stories that we have read today, with the recent research that has been done on why young adults stay or leave the church. But first to the Bible stories. The story from 2 Kings is often titled in our Bibles as the healing of Nehemiah. And this is good because it is a story of miraculous, beautiful healing. But it is also a story of a deep and compassionate faith, the faith of a young woman, a captive, one taken from her people to serve in the household of in a foreign land. And it is this slave girl who demonstrates compassion for her slave master and demonstrates faith in a God who can move. By telling Nehemiah's wife where Naaman will find healing, Tucked within this story of healing is an example of a young person with a strong faith, a faith that enabled her to seek good for her enemy, for her captor, and to express faith in the prophet that he can do the work of God. So I wonder how it is that this young woman came to have such a faith. What happened in her home? What happened in her faith community? What happened in her heart? Our knowledge of the household practices of the Israelite people give us some clues, and we can assume that she grew up being taught by her mother the words that Moses gave the people after the Exodus from Egypt. The words are this, and you will know them. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord alone. The Lord is our God, the Lord alone. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and must commit yourself wholeheartedly to these commands that I'm giving you this day. So that even when finding herself a captive, a slave in the household of a foreign army commander, this young woman, even in this place, has these words ringing in her heart and shaping her attitudes, her behavior, shaping who she is. And in the New Testament story, we again see God using a young person to carry out his mission. In this story, it is the Apostle Paul's nephew, the son of his sister, who is used by God to interrupt the murder plot that Paul's enemies were about to carry out. The life of Paul is saved by a young, faithful man. A young man willing to be used by God for holy purposes. I can only imagine he would have been terrified, right? I mean, if I in my little life would have ever heard someone plotting against one of my uncles, I mean, that is like, oh my goodness, what do you do with that, right? But he finds a way past his fear. And often it is only our faith in a God that is bigger than we are that can push us past our fear. And the things were going, oh, no, you know, maybe I didn't hear right. Oh, what do I do? Oh, what if they don't believe me? I think this is common, right? If a young person approaches an adult, what if they don't believe my story? But he gets past all of that, right? Because of his love, because of his faith. He goes and he tells his uncle and he faces the tribune and he faces the prison commander and he tells him. It's an incredible story. We never tell this story. I don't know how many times in your journey of discipleship you have heard this story. It's a story of a young man saving the life of the Apostle Paul. It's incredible. They are stories of young people heeding the call of God, and they're there throughout all of history. And most certainly, they are still being written today in our congregation, in this congregation. And I am absolutely full. I am full of hope for the Church of Jesus Christ in this day, at this time. And yet I know, and you know, and the research reveals and reminds us that young people are young people. People we love, people we pray for, people we watch over, are not always making their spiritual home in the church. And in a sense, they are following the trends of adults in our society who are also looking outside the church for meaningful community and spiritual wisdom. In the latest research report from the Evangelical Fellowship of Canada entitled Hemorrhaging Faith, Why and When Canadian Young Adults Are Leaving, Staying, or Returning to Church, I was surprised to learn that most young people who leave the church do so before grade 12. In fact, the research discovered more youth left church between grade 6 and 7 than between grade 12 and university. This for me was a very, very sobering statistic because of my love for youth and for the church and in my role in our conference. And our MCM Fellowship of Youth Pastors have reflected upon these findings. We actually met with a sociologist who did this study, James Penner, out of the University of Lethbridge. When he was in Winnipeg, I phoned him and I said, James, you need to talk to us. What is going on between grade 6 and 7? And so we talked, and we have been reflecting on this. Is this ringing true? And what is happening in our households? What is happening in our community? Another finding of the report was that approximately 1 in 2 children who grow up attending church will no longer identify with that tradition by the time they are young adults. And again, I'm sobered. How can this be? But we know it to be true. And it's painful for us. It's painful when we see this happening in our families, in our congregations. In response to some of these realities, I have taken guidance and direction from another research project. This time, the research was done by the former executive secretary of Mennonite Church Canada, Jack Suderman, when in the late 2000s, in the last years of his serving the Mennonite Church Canada, he did a listening tour across Canada and visited, I think, all of our congregations and just sat with the leaders and sat with the people and listened to them. And this is what, in his post-tour book, God's People Now, Face to Face with Mennonite Church Canada, I read these words. And yet my sense, this is Jack speaking, and yet my sense is that young adults are not seeking more programs, more resources, or more creative worship. In fact, they sometimes perceive these things to be peripheral to their deeper concerns. Rather, they just want to be heard, not just listened to. They are searching for a church life that is deeply relevant to their social context, biblically prophetic, profoundly theological, globally aware, ecologically conscious, strongly communal, and full of integrity and passion. When I read these words, which I do most every day because I've pinned them on the wall of my office on Shaftesbury, the conviction that grows in me is this. We, the mature church, and I include that in that, we, the mature church of today, will call our young people to heed the call of Jesus by heeding it continually ourselves. It is our life together, our discerning efforts to speak to current social issues, our prophetic words that we bring to our government, our continued efforts to partner with the global church and to care about them, our struggle to live simply, to have abundance, and yet to put it aside for the other. This is what speaks to our young people. This is the invitation that interests them and woos them to say yes, as we have said yes, to following Jesus Christ. As always, it is not so much our spoken words of invitation that speaks to their heart. It is our lives in our households, in our vocations, in our communities, in our congregation that really tells our children that following Jesus is where life is found. It is an abundant, it is meaningful, it is for the whole of life, it is for eternity. Nowhere else can there be found this kind of life but in following Jesus Christ from beginning to end. And they will hear the call that rings out from our lives. From our lives. So where to from here? I would suggest we speak a new kind of invitation to our children, our youth, our young adults. It's not so much an invitation to come and follow our footsteps. Come be part of the church we have built in faithfulness out of love to God. But rather, it is an invitation to join us in following Jesus and to see where we are now headed. It is not a journey to join what is, but rather a shared journey to join what is becoming the church in this day. And on this journey, we need them. We need their creative energy. We need their critiquing, their insight. We need their courageous faith of our young people. That's their gifts to our community. We need them. But they also need us, desperately need us, to accompany them and support them. They will not always want to join in our Sunday morning worship. They will not always want to be part of the programs that we have developed for them. They will not always share our passions and our convictions, but they need us to walk with them, to offer our wisdom and our support, to go where they are going, not just where we are. Now, you might be thinking, oh, Kathy Giesbrecht, that's easy for you to say. Well, not really. I, too, am in the middle of my life, and I enjoy the life as the church as it is because it fits me. It resonates with me. But again and again, I say to myself, Kathy, it is not about you. It is about them. Them, and in them, I mean the 50% of young adults who are leaving the church. And the growing percentage of Canadians who find the church irrelevant. And the growing number of people who suffer from violence and injustice all over God's world every day. It is not a day for me to be comfortable. It is a day for me to be faithful to what God is now growing the church into being. In walking forward, it would be good for us to take some cues from history. We do not ignore history. We build upon it and we gain the wisdom of it. And this time I will give you words spoken about the early church from the church historian Ellen Crider. He says this in his writings about the early Christian church. The Christians were aware that the life of their communities was remarkable. And they wanted to live in such a way that this was visible enough to draw people to faith and freedom in Christ. Beauty of life, one of them contended, causes strangers to join the ranks. We do not talk about great things, we live them. We do not talk about great things, we live them. We call our children, our youth, our young adults, our neighbors, our enemies to follow Jesus by living a beautiful life. May God grant me, Mennonite Church of Manitoba, may God grant us the humility to heed his call and to follow in old ways and in new ways so that all may come to know the abundant saving grace and life, life like no other, life only found in the way, in the will, in the heart of God. Life of justice and reconciliation. Life of generosity. Life of joy. Life of forgiveness. Life of goodness. Only found in the wisdom, in the way, and in the saving of God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit that carries and cares for the church every single day and cares for you. Amen. As the hymn of response, I have chosen a beautiful hymn. I think it's a beautiful hymn. I first heard it when the Mennonite Church of the World, when the World Mennonite Conference came to Winnipeg, there, I think in 1990, and we were at what is no longer, but was at the arena, and I remember us singing, "O Lord, you have come to the lakeshore, looking neither for wealthy nor wise ones." And the call today is not just for our children, not just for our youth, not just for young adults. It is a call for all of us to enter in to the following of Jesus Christ. Amen.